Batch, you got to call a postseason game in which the Canucks won for the first time. How did that one feel?
Yeah, certainly. Thanks for having me, guys, by the way. It was a good night, a much more enjoyable experience than game one on Sunday. And, you know, it really started from that first shift, as, you know, I heard Bick alluding to just a moment ago, where they get the early goal, maybe a little bit of a lucky bounce to have the puck bounce to Tanner Pearson right where he was. But, you know, the Canucks were due to have some things go their way after game number one. And certainly when playing from in front, they look like a much more confident team, or they did last night anyway. And, you know, they were full value to tie the series at one game apiece.
Yeah, they most certainly were. And it was led by the top six. And there were elements of how the top six played that were predictable. And there were some that perhaps were surprising. Which qualified as surprising for you in terms of what the top six was able to do, or perhaps specific players within it?
Yeah, well, I just think that it was such a night and day performance from game one, where, you know, a guy like Tanner Pearson has one of the worst games we've seen him have as a Canuck. And then he becomes a big factor, you know, in game two, scoring the early goal. You know, I wasn't necessarily surprised that Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser were as good as they were. You know, just in terms of being effective and being offensive. But, you know, I know what you're getting at, Scotty, with, you know, the really surprising part was just how good Louis Erickson was, how much he played. Certainly, I don't think Travis Green would have gone into that game planning to play Louis Erickson 20 minutes and more time than any other forward at even strength. But some of the injuries that happened throughout the game, especially losing Michael Ferland on that right side, and the penalty kill, you know, having to work a fair bit, led to Louis Erickson getting a good chunk of ice time at evens and, you know, special teams as well. But, you know, that's one of the best games I've seen Louis play in a long time. And for a guy that didn't get into the exhibition game, didn't get into game one, only played a handful of scrimmages at Canucks camp, hasn't played an NHL game, you know, a competitive NHL game in months, it was really surprising and a pleasant surprise to see him have the impact that he was able to have playing up the lineup. Because I'll be honest, when we saw the lines before the game and we saw that Louis Erickson was on the Horvat line and Jake Virtanen was on the fourth line, in my mind, I thought, well, that will change throughout the game. If they need to generate offense, Jake Virtanen's going to move up. Louis Erickson's going to move down. That's where he's comfortable. And we did see Erickson play in both spots at times, you know, preventing Jake from getting more minutes with only, you know, 8 minutes on the night for Jake Virtanen. But yeah, Louis was great. That was the big surprise in the top six. And it was nice to see some of the other guys that had forgettable game ones like Horvat and Pearson elevate their game and become, you know, impact players in game two.
Batch, have you had more fun in an individual period than watching Elias Pettersson in that second period?
It was pretty special, wasn't it? He's, you know, I thought before the game, and Sat asked me on the pregame show if there was one young player that was going to, you know, take over the game, who would it be? And you know, the answer was always Elias Pettersson for me. And certainly, you know, he had a special game last night. He was really good in game one, I thought, and you know, maybe didn't get some of the calls that he deserved. And getting to some of those scoring areas was a little bit tougher for him. But in game two, everything that went wrong seemed to go right. And, you know, what a little tip play that was to Besser for his goal, which I'm sure he'll be pleased about as well, as a Minnesota native that has looked really good through a couple of games, but getting a goal will only help his confidence. You know, it's exciting right now. It's exciting to follow this team because of the young talent at the top of the lineup and what they can do on a night-to-night basis. And, you know, Pettersson last night is a perfect example of why this team is so fun to watch and why the guys on the post-game show had people calling in from South Carolina and, you know, texts in from Alabama and, you know, all places all over North America and even outside of North America. I know we always hear during the broadcast from listeners in the U.K., and in Sweden and in Europe and, you know, oftentimes in China, we've had people tuning in. You know, whether people are Canuck fans or not, this is an exciting, fun team to watch. And those are the guys that make it that way.
Yeah, I had a couple of people reach out from like out of market of just, hey man, it's kind of fun watching this team when they are going. They're, you know, still volatile, right? They're still learning, and you see like the kind of switch going off near the end of the game, and suddenly it's 4-3 instead of a comfortable 4-1 victory. But that idea that they have a higher ceiling than Minnesota, that I don't know if Minnesota can reach unless they kind of have that game one muck it up, lucky bounces kind of go their way. It felt like Vancouver has taken one of Minnesota's best punches that they've been able to give out so far.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, you look at the way that we handicap this series coming in. Minnesota has the edge on the blue line. The Canucks on paper should have the edge in goal. The Canucks high-end forwards are certainly better, but Minnesota has more depth up front. But, you know, when you look at the game last night, it seems to me like the Wild may not have an answer for Vancouver's top six, and in particular the lotto line, if they play to their full potential like they did yesterday, because they seemed unstoppable at times during that game. And, you know, you're right, that's one of the things with young players, is that volatility where you can't 100% guarantee that things are going to go smooth every single night. They'll have ups and they'll have downs, and consistency maybe isn't their strong suit just yet. Although you look at a guy like Pettersson and he's one of the Canucks' best players every night. But just in general, when you have a younger team or a more inexperienced team, when you get into some of these playoff battles, they're going to learn lessons. They're not going to be at their best every single night. But they're exciting to watch. And when they are playing to the peak of their potential, you know, I don't know if Minnesota will be able to do a whole lot to stop them going forward in this series. That said, that still requires them to play to that level. And with some of the potential injuries that now seem to be mounting in the bottom six, depending on what happens with Ferland and Roussel and Gaudette and whether Toffoli's out long term, you know, there may be even more pressure on the guys in the top six to produce, because if that bottom six is weakened at all due to injuries, then, you know, you really have to look to those top two lines to provide all of the scoring, and maybe even more scoring than they would have to otherwise if the bottom six can't keep the puck out of the net.
I sit here and I listen to you guys, and I understand the confidence and I understand what the Canucks looked like last night, but I feel like there is this falling back into the trap of underrating the Minnesota Wild, that only the Vancouver Canucks can hurt themselves and there's nothing the Wild can do. Batch, I haven't changed my mindset since the outset of this series. I'm sure that Mrs. Batchelor would love to have you home this weekend. I think you're working Sunday, buddy. I think this is a 5-game series.
Yeah, I do as well. And, you know, not to say that Minnesota
this weekend. I think you're working Sunday, buddy. I think this is a 5-game series.
Yeah, I do as well. And, you know, not to say that Minnesota won't be able to win another game or that Vancouver's top six is going to roll over them. I'm not trying to imply that. I'm just saying that if those guys are at the top of their game, you know, they're one of the best lines of the NHL, that lotto line, to be quite honest. You know, they're in the conversation, probably not at the same level as, you know, the MacKinnon line or the Bergeron line or even the Aho line in Carolina, who's had a pretty good week. But they're up there, right? And when they play the way they can play, it's very hard for teams to limit them. But that said, you know, this is a Minnesota club that we saw how they were able to stymie the Canucks in game one, how they were able to really shut the game down when they had a lead. And, you know, as much as Vancouver played great yesterday, I wonder how hard it's going to be for the Canucks in games where they get behind. They didn't have a good record when they gave up the first goal throughout the regular season. You know, again, because of Minnesota's defensive structure, they're a team that will be harder to break down when they feel comfortable just, you know, sticking with their structure and keeping the Canucks to the outside and trying to grind out low scoring wins. You know, that was the most positive part of the game for the Canucks yesterday, is that they scored goals and forced Minnesota to open up, and that allows you more opportunities. We saw that late in the third period, you know, before Fiala scored his two goals, that Minnesota was activating their D down the boards because they've got to chase the game. They've got to get back in it. And that opened up a couple of different opportunities where the Canucks had odd man rushes the other way. But if Minnesota can build a lead, then the complexion of the game changes absolutely, where it's the Canucks that are having to take those chances. And Minnesota, especially in game one, showed themselves to be an incredibly patient team, especially when there's not pressure on them. So, well, right now, it's with the way Louis Erickson played yesterday, you'd have to say the top six, just because, you know, he was able to come in and be one of the Canucks' best players. I worry less about offense for this group. You know, they didn't struggle to score goals. They've got a guy like Jake Virtanen who can slot up the lineup if they need, you know, some offensive punch and some speed. But, you know, that bottom six was already not great in terms of just generally looking at the way they played this season, the amount of time they got hemmed in their own zone. You know, perfect example was in game one where that fourth line gets hemmed in. Alex Edler takes a penalty. Minnesota opens the score on the power play. So, you know, that's where I worry a little bit. And, you know, we're getting to the point now where if all of the players that we're talking about as injured are not able to play in game three, so that's Toffoli, Gaudette, Ferland, and Roussel, then you're looking at Zach MacEwen coming into the lineup. He's a guy that's got NHL experience. I wouldn't be so worried about that. But then after that, you're making a choice between whether to bring in Justin Bailey and or Tyler Graovac. And, you know, not to rip on those guys, but, you know, Travis Green has talked about having 15 quality NHL forwards that he feels he can trust. You're getting to your 16th forward at that point if you've got four guys out of the lineup. So that's where I worry a little bit right now. So I guess the long-winded way of answering your question is to say that, you know, right now they've got some skill, they've got some offense, they've got guys that can play up and down the lineup. I just worry about the quality of their depth if they're really pushed down to their last couple of forwards that they have with them there in Edmonton.
When stars shine in a game like that, Batch, you know, usually we just overlook players down on the roster anyways. But I did want to highlight Tyler Motte. That was as good of a rebound game. You know, we talked about Besser and Pearson and all those guys rebounding. But he was at fault for that goal in the first game. Yesterday, he was everywhere, especially on the PK. Just blocking shots, putting pressure on, getting the puck out. That's why he retains his place in the lineup more so than I think a lot of people realize.
Yeah, I mean, he had more shorthanded ice time than even strength ice time in the game yesterday. And, you know, that was because of the nature of the game and the number of penalties that were called. But, you know, you look at how effective Vancouver's penalty kill was yesterday. Hershey and I always talk on the broadcast about how important Jay Beagle is to that because he oftentimes wins those key draws that allow the Canucks to get the puck down the ice right at the start of the penalty kill and trim off the first 20 seconds. But, you know, you look at Tyler Motte and his ability to break up plays and his relentlessness hounding loose pucks to make sure that the Canucks aren't under pressure or don't get hemmed in when they're on the penalty kill. You know, it's invaluable. And, you know, that's the reason guys like that are in the lineup. You know, Tyler Motte is not a guy that's going to play a ton at even strength. He's not a guy that you're going to rely on a lot, although I know Travis Green has used that line in a matchup role at times this year. But where he, you know, his bread and butter is made on the penalty kill for this group. And, you know, I agree. You know, we could go down the lineup, to be honest, and there aren't really many or any guys that I would pick out as saying, oh, he was a passenger yesterday, or, you know, he didn't have a good game. You know, Jake Virtanen might be the lone guy just because he didn't play a ton in the game. But even then, he has the big back check that everybody was talking about. And, you know, he created a couple of chances and had a shot on goal during the game. So, you know, Tyler Motte could be lumped into that group where on a night like last night, where the top six scores four goals, the Canucks win, and all the best players were the best players. A performance from a guy that is still so important to them on the penalty kill kind of gets lost in the mix a little bit, but you're right. I thought it was a really solid game for Tyler Motte.
You got your menu set for tomorrow morning. Normally you have to worry about a pregame meal being dinner. What are you doing for breakfast?
Yeah, well, we'll have some carbs in there, maybe some oatmeal to get the energy up for the morning game. And,
nice.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I love day games personally. I know there's a lot of people in Vancouver that are going to be frustrated because they've got to be at work and can't watch the game. But I've always liked day games. I like waking up and just getting ready for a hockey game. And for anyone that isn't going to be able to watch or is stuck at work, we always like to remind you can throw us on the radio or on your smartphone with the Sportsnet app, and you can stay absolutely up to date on the game with me and Hershey. And then afterwards, of course, the guys won't have to go late into the night like they did last night on the post-game show. But the one thing you know about our post-game show, Scotty, it's unlimited.
Oh, yeah, it is. Mr. Unlimited.
Was that your Russell Wilson? Hang on.
Yes,
that was,
his
Russell Wilson reference, wasn't it?
And it was about as good as Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah, that's strong. I mean, well done.
I mean, I would argue that it was better because Russell Wilson was painful. But
Mr.
yes, we do have
unlimited
post-game show for you after every Canucks game here in the playoffs.
Well
Mr.
done, Batch.
Unlimited.
Well done, buddy. Have a great call tomorrow. You don't have any schedule information to break for us, do you? You broke the schedule yesterday, so we knew there was going to be an early game. Do you know when Friday's game is yet?
I haven't heard yet, but I will put it out on Twitter the moment we hear from the NHL.